It's not hard to find things to be thankful for, hard to have find things that are to preach about near Thanksgiving, because you can just pick one thing that you're thankful for and talk about it. And that's kind of what the Lord laid upon my heart tonight, is to just be thankful for the people who've helped me in the past. There's been times when someone saw a need, and instead of just walking by and saying, hey, I don't have anything to do with that, they were willing to help. And tonight, the story is about the Good Samaritan. I know we got to cut off some of the preliminaries because of the fact of the shorter message. But it's the idea there were two people who just walked by and saw there was a need and just ignored it. And in this story, you're going to see that there was one that said, hey, look, I see there's a need, and I'm going to do what I can to help. And I want to encourage you that there's probably people that have been there in your life that have just not saw you in need but was willing to help you. I can say that about myself. I can say that as a child, as a teenager, as a young adult, even as an assistant pastor and pastor. There are times that God spoke to someone else's heart to kind of intervene to be a help and a blessing. And boy, they help make and they help mold and they help me become the man that I am with through God's help. And I think we probably could all say that there's been people in our lives, whether it's our parents, whether it's our friends, whether it's a mentor, whether it's a relative or church family member, there have been people who helped us, and they could have ignored the need. They could have saw that, hey, yes, there's a problem. They could have sat there and been critical. Look at that guy, he has a problem. But there are some people that take the time to say, yes, I see there's a need, but not only is there a need, I want to do something about it. Let's jump in here and look, and we'll start, and we're going to have to, I guess, kind of do a little bit of a commentary on the way through. Verse number 25 is we're going to start. Luke chapter 10, verse number 25. The Bible says, and behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, referring, they tempted Jesus, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Now, this is a reasonable question, but he's not interested in truly knowing what Jesus has to say. He's interested in trying to trick Jesus because he's someone who hates Jesus and he wants to make a fool of Jesus. He picked the wrong fellow because Jesus knows exactly what he's thinking, knows what's in his heart. And Jesus turns and asks him, as only Jesus can, the perfect question. He said unto him, what is written in the law? How readest thou? And Jesus says, okay, you're a lawyer. You know the law. You know frontwards and backwards. You know the Pentateuch. What do you think? And then he gives this command. He talks about the great commandment. He answering said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. He says the great commandment. And then he says, and he said unto him, thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. The reality is, if we could do that, then we wouldn't need salvation. But none of us can. We're all born. We're all sinners. We all sin. Because we've sinned, we need a Savior. And that's what Jesus Christ came to this world to do. As the Son of God, God himself came to this world, took on the form of the flesh, died on the cross for us, so because no one can do this. And look what it says in verse 29. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, and who is my neighbor? It's interesting. He doesn't say, well, what does it mean to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul? Because he knew he didn't do that. Instead, he focuses on what could be a controversial part of it. And he says, who is my neighbor? Now, before we go there, look at what it says in verse 29. Willing to justify himself. You know what he's saying there? He doesn't care what God has to say. He doesn't care what Christ has to say here. He is interested in making himself be at peace for the way he acts. And so often, that's what people take the scriptures and the Bible, and they look at it and they're like, okay, how can I get the Bible to fit what I want it to say? How can I manipulate the Bible and justify myself? And we really need to enter and look at the Word of God for what the Bible says and for what the Word of God says about the truths that are found in there, and listen to the Bible instead of many times our strongholds or teachings of the past or things that we grew up with. What does the Bible say here? So Jesus gives them a story that's unique, and a story is unlike any other. And he says, and this is one of those great stories that even in literature, they say one of the greatest stories ever written. And it says in verse number 30, and Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance, there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise, a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, now remember, the Samaritans and the Jews were not people that got along. This would be the last person. He's probably a guy that would, some of the Samaritans kind of would have kicked him as they went by. But this guy, this Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him and went to him and bound up his wounds and pouring in oil and wine and set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. And then he asked the question to his lawyer, intelligent guy, which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto them that fell among thieves? And he said, he that showeth mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, go and do thou likewise. It's a great story. There's a lot of things that you could pull out of it. But this is the thought that's there. There were two people, the priest and the Levite, the people that should have been willing to help, the people that most people would say, well, they're the religious people today. Of course they're going to help. They walked and they saw that there was a need. And they even says one even went and looked at the guy and saw the need and just kept on walking. So my encouragement to you tonight is be thankful for those who helped you in the past. Be thankful for those who took the time to see that you had a need and was willing to be a blessing and encouragement. But more than just being thankful, be grateful for it and also be willing to help someone like that too. If you think about the story where it says in verse number 32, and likewise Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him. He saw there's a need. We can many times see when there's a need, but the question is, are we going to help? Now, maybe God doesn't lead us to help in every single area, and we need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit of God, because I know there's some people who are there to try to take advantage of others and to people who take advantage of the church and things like that. They have to answer to God for that. God can take care of them. But in verse 33 says, but a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. When there's a person that's in need, sometimes we have to go where they're at to help them with what they're dealing with. And we have to be willing to be encouraged. So don't just walk by when you see there's a need. Now, sometimes there are some things that's not our business, and sometimes people do things for the wrong reason. And it talks about if you're walking past and you're meddling with somebody in an issue in a time that really doesn't need it, it's sort of like grabbing a dog by the ears. It's not what we're talking about. We're saying as God leads you and guides you, and as you walk past a world that is hurting and a world that has so many great needs, don't close up your eyes, don't close up your mind, don't close up your heart to all those that are around you. After we leave this place tonight, many of us are going to go, and I know some people still work tomorrow. Some may even have school tomorrow. I think most of the kids are out of school by now. Hooray for them. But you're going to go Thursday and see family. You're going to go to Thursday and you see friends. You're going to see people who have needs, people who need people to pray, people who need the gospel. And then maybe some of you might go out Black Friday shopping. And you're going to see a lot of people out there with needs. You're going to walk past people that are just such a needy group of people out there. The world's there. I mean, it's huge. And what do? We many times will look and say, oh, look at that. And we'll even comment about it. But we'll just cross the road on the other side and pretend it's not there. I am thankful, and in my lifetime, there is more than one individual who saw there was something going on, who the Lord led in my life that says, hey, is there something I can help you with? Is there something I can do for you? Now, I know what some people are going to do. They're going to say, well, I just don't feel led. And that may be true. If you're not in your Bible and if you're not praying, you're not going to feel led to do anything spiritually. It's going to be pretty hard for God to get into your brain and head. And what are you doing? You're justifying yourself. So we're like this lawyer. He tried to justify himself when he says, who is my neighbor? Okay, you know, love your neighbor as yourself. Who are you talking about? And Jesus says, you can't have a wrong answer. And he pulls out the guy that was left to himself, that no one, he could not help any, he could not do anything for him. But he shows the Samaritan who was a neighbor, the one that really people you don't really truly enjoy. people you don't like. The Samaritans didn't like the Jews. Also, he was willing to give him himself. He got the guy cleaned up. He put the guy on his donkey or his animal or his beast, and he rode him in while the guy walked. Then the guy gets and takes out his own, of course it wasn't a wallet back then, takes out his own wallet and is willing to give to help a guy who is never going to be able to help him. Never going to be able to, he doesn't know anything about this man, is not to try to get something from this guy. Instead, he is an encouragement and a help. How often do we do that? I think in verse number 27, if we would learn to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might, with all thy mind, if we would learn to do that, we could learn to love our neighbor as ourselves. You say, Pastor, you don't know my neighbor. I don't even like my neighbor. My neighbor doesn't even like me. You see, it's the point is, if we love God that way, God's going to cause us to love other people that way. And if we have a problem with loving others, we have a problem with loving God. Don't just keep on walking past the needs of this world. Don't just keep on ignoring, oh, that's their problem, or that's this, or that's that. Don't sit there and say that nobody wants to have a gospel tract. Maybe they don't know that they need it, and maybe they don't want it, but we're not supposed to close our eyes to that. We're not supposed to close our ears. We're not supposed to walk on the other side of the street. And like I said, in my lifetime, I've had people stop by and was willing to take time and say, hey, can I help you? Sometimes it was a gift that was anonymous. Sometimes it was somebody just coming alongside and spending a little bit of time with me. Sometimes it was praying. Sometimes it was rebuking. Sometimes it was a lot of different challenges. A lot of different things that happened in my life that God has used people to encourage me. And I think of people that I grew up with that, and I was an annoying kid. I rode the bus route for the most part, and I was a little bit arrogant, mouthy, prideful, the type of person nobody would really want to help. But there was people that said, hey, I saw there was a need. I know I've told this story before, but I'll end with this. I was teaching junior church downstairs. I say downstairs, but at my old church is downstairs. I was teaching junior church, and I had done that since I was sixth grade. I was a helper. And probably about ninth or tenth grade, the main teacher left. And they didn't want to be bothered with it, so I began teaching it, probably around 11th grade. And I did that for a number of years. And probably about the age of, 20, did it for 5 or 6 years. Not by myself. I had a helper. But there's a new family that came into town, and they joined the church. And they had degrees on how to teach. And the pastor, actually it was the assistant pastor, that says, hey, we're going to have these people come in and take over. And I'm thinking, what? I've been doing this. You have not had any problems. I've been doing this since I was 12. And now you're going to tell me that these guys are going to be in charge. I need to listen to them. And my pride got, a little bit wounded. And these guys were really good teachers. They did a really good job. They came in and they helped. And they had all these different programs, all these different things. But I didn't want any part of it because I was bitter because of the fact that they had done that instead. I mean, what about all those years that I did it? Guy who taught the older junior church. Some people call it primary church for first through third grade. That's what I taught for many years. And it was fourth through sixth grade. Saw that I was struggling. Saw that I had need. And he said, you know what? I need a helper upstairs. Would you mind helping me? And I think that was God ordained. Because from that, he was a guy who took time to help me learn how to preach. Down there was more telling kids' story. It was things I could have learned a lot from the other people if I was willing to submit and would have learned. But that man said he saw something, and I think it was God. I had gotten out of junior church. I had kind of quit. My friend that was helping me still helped them down there, and he would tell me, you know what, they do this, and they do that, and they do this, and they do that. But he wasn't the one in charge. I was the teacher. I was the leader. It was wrong for them it wasn't wrong. It was just the fact that I didn't want it to happen. And my feelings got hurt. And I could have been bitter, and I could have never helped again in junior church or helped again in a Sunday school class or helped again in a church. And who knows where I'd be today. But there was somebody who said, there's that guy down there who should really just grow up and realize these other people are doing a better job, and he still can help. But instead he says, I want to help him. Other people probably saw the problem, but they probably just said, oh, he just needs to get over it. But there was someone who said, I want to try to help him. And he came along and he helped me. And I'm thankful for him. Thankful for the people that God sends in my life to help me. And I look across the room, there's a lot of people that have been a helpful and blessing in my life, but I think we can say the same thing about others. So tonight, when we consider all the things we're going to be helpful for, let's be thankful for those who have helped us in the past. And then let's also commit, I'm not going to ignore other people's problems. I'm going to help where God leads me and where I can. Even if it means I need to go to them, even if it means I need to inconvenience myself by putting them on the beast, or if I need to pull out my wallet to help. If God leads me and guides me, I'm going to have eyes open to help those that are in need. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the story. Lord, you